All right, let's pray and then read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you. You are good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments so we could come together and worship you and sing to your name, open your word and read. Remember Jesus and the cross. And God, as we do that, I pray that you would draw us closer to you as we read your word and help us to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so kind of inadvertently, we've had a couple little mini-series within the Psalms as we've gone through the Psalms, and they've not been planned at the beginning, but we're in the middle of one. I didn't realize we were going to be in one. Over the last few weeks, we've been going down a path of learning what it means and what it looks like to trust God more fully, especially in moments of difficulty, because when everything is going well, it's not so hard, is it? But when things are bad, and this is for all of us, right? Because we all have moments of difficulty in our lives. We have stress and pain and hurt. And God says, look at what we read last week, Isaiah 26, verse 3. God says that his children can have perfect peace. That phrase just grabs me because it seems so unattainable. Perfect peace in spite of our circumstances. That's implied because it's a broad statement. So Isaiah 26, verse 3, talking to God, says, you, God, keep him, so the person, God, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. And many times we don't have that perfect peace. It's unattainable for us, right? When we have problems, instead of perfect peace, we worry and we have anxiety and we get depressed and we get stressed and irritable and all those things that come with that. And last week we started asking the question, why? Why don't I experience more of that perfect peace? And we saw in part it was because we don't know God's true character. Truly, we don't know God the way that we could and the way that we should. We don't experience and know and just feel his boundless, infinite, steadfast love, his love that never ends. And so we learned last week that we can have peace, we can trust in God because we know that he loves his children with steadfast, boundless, unending love, and we are in his hands. There's another reason why it's hard for us to trust God and have peace when we face problems in our life. It's because, as we go through life and we face a problem, think about that. You're facing the problem. What does that mean? You're looking at it, right? It's looking at you. And what do? We focus on that problem, as you would expect. We focus on that problem, and especially on how impossible it seems. It's almost as if we develop tunnel vision. Maybe you don't. When I'm going through something, when I'm stressed about something, there's something right now that I'm just kind of like gnawing on in my mind. And it's hard to get out of that and even talk with y'all about this right now because I get tunnel vision. I have a problem. It's not a big problem. Don't worry. You can pray for me, but it's not huge. But just enough that it just keeps me preoccupied. We get tunnel vision when we have a problem. In those moments, the only thing that we can see in front of us tends to be that impossible thing that I don't know how I'm going to move this, how I'm going to fix this, how this is going to get resolved. It seems to be an impossible thing, and it's right in front of me. So we tend not to have perfect peace because we're focused on how impossible our problem seems to be. And that fills us with worry and anxiety. And you've experienced that, right? Okay, so we get the tunnel vision. In the Psalms, God helps us with this problem as well. David and the other writers of the Psalms show, by example, show us something that can correct this dynamic of focusing on that problem that's in front of me, and I don't know how I'm going to fix it, and that's all I talk about and think about, and everybody who knows me is sick of that thing because can correct that. There are psalm after psalm, and we've looked at some of them, and we've skipped over parts of them, as we'll have to do today because they're long, especially these psalms in particular. There's psalm after psalm in which God's works The things God has done are named one after another, and some of them go into great detail, many, many verses of God, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and for your people. In these Psalms, we're commanded to thank God, and so sometimes we look at these Psalms, and I think we already have. We've looked at these Psalms with the aspect, with the mind of, I need to be thankful, but also, it's not just a thankful Psalm, it's a remembering psalm. They're psalms of, you did this, and you did this other thing, and you did this other thing. And the reason that this can help us, especially as we go through life with our problems, is because when we remember what God has done in the past, we are filled with confidence and peace and trust and joy in the moment. It makes us feel more of that perfect peace no matter what is facing us, no matter what we are facing. So, I took some examples. I think I'm going in numerical order. So start with Psalm 34. Some examples of how God's children are to remember what their father has done for them in the past and thank him for that. So Psalm 34, start with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So I'm going to bless God. I'm going to glorify him. That idea of blessing God. We want God to bless us. But I'm going to bless God. I'm going to glorify him. How am I going to do that? How will he do that? Look at verse 4. It is by describing God's works. So I'm going to bless God. And then what does he do? He blesses God, glorifies God by talking about what God has done for him, for his children. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. And this is a guess on my part. I'm guessing David is thinking about something specific, a time when he said, and I needed you, and I sought you, you answered me, and it seemed to be an impossible moment, and you delivered me. Those who look to him, verse 5, to God are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. He remembers what God has done for him and what God does for his children. And then he continues for the rest of the psalm by describing the works that God has done and the works that God does and what God is like. He remembers who God is and what God does. And flip over to Psalm 105, verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. So these tend to start out with a command to give thanks. And then they drop into, here's what God has done. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. That's important. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. So you see that pattern. Give thanks to the Lord, sing praises to him. Why? Because what he's done, talk about, name the things that God has done. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek him rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's uttered. So kind of two parts. He tells God's people to praise God, to thank God. And it's not some generic, generalized, just thank you for everything. It's remember the stuff he's done. Tell about it. Publicize that. Talk about what God has done. And then look in verse 3. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, especially verse 4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Why do you need God's strength and God's presence? Because we have lack. We're going through something. There's problems in our life. So seek God. And then look at what he pairs that with. Verse 5, remember the wondrous works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's uttered. Why would we seek God in our moment of need? What makes us have the trust and confidence to do that? Because we remember what he's done. We say, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and now I have this in front of me. And of course, whatever the outcome of that, you have that in your hands. Because I know that you've done all of this in the past, you also will take care of me in the future. Jump over to Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's why we come together and sing, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And then he continues and he does exactly what he tells God's people to do. He remembers, he puts down, he writes down, God, you did this and you did this. And he writes down the things that God has done for his people. And because we remember what God has done, we can worship and thank God. That's the implication, a not so subtle implication. And then jump to verse 43 at the end. Whoever is wise, so I was thinking there has to be a way that it's like this is the opposite of spirituality for dummies. He's saying, if you want to be wise, if you want to be a wise person, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. So after naming all the things that God does in his steadfast love, he says, if you want to be a wise person, if you want to face whatever is coming at you with wisdom, if you want to have faith, the faith that a wise, someone who truly fears God has, if you want to have the kind of trust in God and the peace and the calm and the perfect peace and the joy facing whatever is facing you in any moment, I'm paraphrasing that, right? I'm expounding on that. But if you want to be wise, then remember what God has done. Remember everything that he's done. It's what he's just done. And he says, now do that. That makes you wise. Jump over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. It's a pattern. We've seen this, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. There's going to be a phrase that is repeated many times through this. So, it's that. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. And so he says, remember his steadfast love is endures forever. Who he was yesterday is who he is today and who he will be tomorrow. What he did and how he has taken care of his children yesterday is what he will do into the future. And so because we remember that, we should thank him, because he is good and his steadfast love does endure forever. Look at verse 5. Out of my distress. So now he's saying he's remembering what God has done for him. Out of my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. On my side is my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So he's in problems. There's something in his life. There was something happening, and he called on God, and God worked on his behalf. That's verse 5. Again, I think we're fairly safe in saying he's thinking of a specific time. Something happened. There was a moment in his life when this happened. I needed God and I called on him and he set me free. And then what does verse 6 through 9 say? What is he saying in the rest of it? He's saying, I can trust God. I can take refuge in God. I know that God is for me. God is on my side as my helper. Why? Because he's helped me in the past. Because I remember what he's done in the past. I know today that I can take refuge in him. I can trust in him. And then he continues describing how God helped him. And look at how it ends, verse 28. Or 23, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, verse 23. Okay, this is the Lord's doing, and I know we're jumping in the middle of this. It's all good, so this would be a good one. That would be good actually, I think we have about enough that we've looked at in part today that if you were to take all of them in their wholeness, you could have one big psalm per family devotion through the week if you had a family devotion every night. Not saying you should do that, but you should. Okay, just an idea. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. You are my God, and I will give thanks. I'm jumping down to verse 28. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. remembers what God has done through this whole psalm, and he rejoices. See that verse 23, verse 24. And then in verse 25, what does he say? We need you. We need you. But he asks for God's help, but he does it with confidence. The confidence is someone who trusts in God. Why does he trust in God so completely? Because he's just got done remembering everything that God has done on their behalf. The reason that he has this faith and trust and peace and joy, he's overflowing in joy. In verse 25, they need help. They need to be saved. That's not normally a moment where I'm overflowing with peace and joy and trust and confidence and he is. So why is that? It's because around him asking God for help, he's remembering everything that God has done for them. Psalm 136. I had to look ahead. This is the last psalm we're going to look at. There were others, but I think we're good with this. Psalm 136. Look at verse 1. The same phrase is repeated, both give thanks to the Lord for he is good, and then the second phrase, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. To the sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. He commands us to thank God. But again, like we've seen in all of these, it's not some generalized thank you for everything. It turns out to kind of be a thank you for everything, but he names pretty much everything. You keep reading. He just keeps going and thank you for this. And because your steadfast love endures forever, you did this. Why? Because you love us. You did this. You love us. He describes work after work that God does for him and has done for his people. He reminds us how much God does for his children. And then at the end of the list, look at verse 23. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Shows us by example in this psalm and in all the psalms that we looked at, that God's children should remember what their father has done before in the past for them. We should remember what God has done for us. That is our big idea that I get out of all of these psalms. God's children should remember. They should remember the works that God does on their behalf, and they should thank him for who he is and what he has done. Because when we do that, God receives glory. That's strewn throughout all these psalms. As God's people remember what he's done, God is glorified. He's thanked. He's sung to. And also, how we feel changes. And we see that strung through these psalms as well. God fills his children with faith and with joy and with peace because we know that we are in the hands of our fathers and everything's going to be okay. Maybe not as we would define okay, but we are in his hands and he will work things out according to his will. As we remember what he has done in the past, we come to trust him more. We come to trust more in his presence and his power that he is with us and that he will work now as he's worked in the past. And that he sees and he takes care of and he knows every problem that is facing us. Just like all the other times that he's come to our help in the past. Now, even knowing that, we sometimes have a problem with it. At least I do. There's something that kind of, stops me from remembering. I mean, it's good. This has been a good week for me because it's reminded me to remember, which means I don't remember to remember what God has done in the past for me on many occasions, especially when I'm in the middle of a problem. And you may be the same way in some ways in your life. It's hard for us to remember what God has done before. Why? Because it's where we started at. Our problem, just whatever the problem is in front of us, it just appears to be huge. In that moment, it consumes us. And it would almost be sound a bit absurd, feel a bit ridiculous to pause when I have this thing that I have to resolve. I got to take care of that, to pause and remember all the other stuff God has done for me in the past. It's like, yeah, that was phenomenal. But this is my problem right now. It doesn't flow with what I feel like I should do. I need to fix that. And so we focus so much on what's urgent in the moment that we don't contemplate what happened in the past. So what do we do when we read these Psalms? We should learn from these Psalms to remember what God has done for us. So in this moment, right now, doesn't have to be a complete list. Can you make a list in your mind? Can you maybe in your words, in your head, complete the words of Psalm 136 we just read? I give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love endures forever to me. You did this and you did that and you fixed that thing. And I didn't think that could be fixed. And that relationship and that friendship. And you did. What are some of the things on your list? And this, in this moment, as you think about that, if you have never surrendered to Jesus by repenting, being baptized, he invites you. I invite you. I invite you not to come to him. I invite you just to think about how good he has been with you in spite of, like everyone else, your disobedience, in spite of what God in his word says, not me, but God in his word says that you're his enemy. And if he can be so good and kind with you that you, like all of us, have a list of all the times God has helped you, all the things he's done for you, even before becoming his child, can you imagine what it would be like to become his child and receive his infinite, never-ending, steadfast love? And he invites you to surrender to him, to give your life to his lordship, to let him be the boss of you in the moment when you come to him and you repent and are baptized. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I want to surrender, I want him to be my father, tell one of us, you can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are God's children, our application is what David shows us in the Psalms. We should learn to do what David did. We should regularly remember what our Father has done for us. We should, just like we did right now, we made that little list in our mind, we should make that list regularly. It should be our habit, I think, and this isn't, I don't have a verse for this. This is just what I think. I think every time we pray, we should make a list. Thank you for this, and thank you for that too, and thank you for this, and thank you. And maybe if we have time at the end, we'll ask him for some other help with some stuff right now, but we should fill our prayers with thanksgiving. And when we're in the middle of a problem, we should take a pause and not just say what we learned to say last week, you're my father and you love me, remember his steadfast love for us. We should also, in that moment, just forget about that thing that's facing us that we're worried about and just make a list. You did that, you did that other thing, and things that have nothing to do with the thing facing us. Just take what seems to be an absurd break in the middle of our problem and just make that list in our mind. And in that moment, let our Father fill us with faith and confidence and trust and joy in the middle of the storm that surrounds us. That's what I would invite you and me. I want to remember to do this next time that you're overwhelmed by a difficulty in your life. And now, every week we have an incredible opportunity to do something very, very special together. We get to remember the greatest work, the biggest work that our Father has done on our behalf. He gave his Son to die in our place on the cross. We remember that when we come together and we take bread and we take juice, and with them we remember his body and his blood. And as we thank him for that, I'm sure you've experienced this, God fills us with faith. He fills us with confidence in him. Once again, doesn't matter what's facing us in life, doesn't matter what's in front of us in this moment, our Father, who gave his Son for us, has us in his hands. He holds us, and all of our eternity is spoken for. He holds us, and he will take care of every step of this life. I want to end with one reading, and we read it last week as part of a larger reading in Romans 8. And if it's okay, and even if it's not, I'm going to do it anyway, but if it's okay, I want to repeat just a part of that 2 weeks in a row. We'll do something else next week, but read Romans 8:31 with me if you would. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then it tells us why. Why can we have that trust? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And God, we come to you and we thank you for that promise. We thank you that we can remember together in this moment what Jesus did for us on the cross. How he saved us, paid the price for our sins by suffering in our place, and rose from the grave and opens a door for us to have eternal life with you. And as if that were not enough, and it is, on top of that, because we have that and you've given us that, you promise that you hold us in your hands and that we can know that you will take care of us, that with Christ you give us all things. We're your children and you love us. We can count on your steadfast love because you've given us all of your love through Jesus on the cross. So as we remember him, we thank you. We pray, God, that you would fill us with faith no matter what we're facing in this moment. May fill us with faith and trust and confidence and joy and peace because we are in your hands and you love us and we know that. We remember that every time we gaze upon the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.